Blog Talk Radio.
Change you wish to see in the world. Very well-known phrase that was written by Mahatma Gandhi, and I kind of like to read that to you tonight because it's a good place to start. You know, with what I want to talk about tonight, because I believe so much that times are changing and things are happening, and people are becoming so much more aware of what's going on. At least, I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying that people who think, and feel, and understand, and what's happening in the world, they're understanding what's happening here, and they're out of jobs, and they're out of, you know, the cost of education is skyrocketing, and their, you know, kids are in trouble, and their families are in trouble, and it's every kind of mess that's possible. But that's, I mean, you look at the floods, and you look at the fires, and you look at the crime waves, and you look at all these things, and you have to stop and say, I can't take it anymore. We have to change. Things have got to change, but they can't change for the worse. They have to change for the better. And you have to start looking at yourself, and you have to start saying, well, how can I make this change in my world, you know? It's like Gandhi says, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. And, well, let me read this article that I wrote. And if you may agree or you may not agree, but it's really a personal journey, and for all of us, an individual journey. But that journey will sooner or later meet up or crossroads with somebody else on their life's journey or their life's pilgrimage, if you will. And I think that's what's happening now. You know, I think that's happening now, where millions and millions and millions of people, billions of people, are now coming together for the same reasons and saying, we have to stop this, we have to change this. We have to change the deceptions, and we have to change our perceptions, and we have to change what is making this world bad. And I wrote this on the 26th of July, which was a week ago now, or so. It doesn't seem that. I guess it seems like I wrote it yesterday. But so Mahatma Gandhi said, "You must be the change you wish to see in the world." I've thought about that statement for many years. Whenever I insist on political and social changes, I try to see the spirit that substantiates and mirrors the changes I am seeking in the world. I continue to write and voice my opinions to try to influence others to see what I see and feel the need to take action to fight the wrongs in society. In the past 6 months, I have noticed a trend of unprecedented worldwide revolutionary thought and behavior that seems to be all-pervasive and spreading rapidly around the world. This website and my radio show have been visited by hundreds of thousands of readers and listeners over 90 countries in the last 8 years. And recently, I have noticed a consistent and significant increase in visitors and listeners, which seem to be corresponding with the growth of rebellion around the world. I am noticing many more bold voices and articles and videos on the internet who are not afraid to speak out against the treason and corruption of Barack Obama, or the corruption and failing of so many leaders in our other countries who are being thrown out of office by violent protests. I am grateful to see so many people around the world awakening to the deception of the false news media, especially in the United States. The vast majority of people are listening to alternative news on radio, television, and websites. Few Americans believe anything Obama says, and even fewer agree with anything our Congress is doing. And recent polls have shown nearly zero support by Americans for their own government, and the majority polled desire a clean sweep of the entire system. And those in government now fear and are preparing for a U.S. revolution. These are dangerous and revolutionary times we are all living in. The reality of corruption, deceit, and despair is so obvious to the world masses that it can no longer be disguised by deceptive media or government propaganda. The frightening faces of those trying to control the minds and souls of everyone in the world are now unmasked and exposed for who and what they are. The danger of global domination by an elitist group of billionaires is apparent to us all by their generosity in providing millions of free, lethal vaccinations to inoculate third world populations. We are all seeing and are horrified by the murderous reality of government-sponsored genocide, by the manipulation of the world food and water supply, to the creation of artificial climate change, global depression, economics, war and military occupations, and draconian police brutality used against protesters and peaceful citizens. These are all weapons of mass destruction used for massive global population reduction. These horrific actions are causing people around the planet to merge into one common consciousness and awareness because of their fear and need for self-preservation. The universal consciousness, prophesied in indigenous prophecies and by the great seers and prophets throughout history, is beginning to take effect on humanity. Understanding each other now is the only hope for our survival. By reaching out to others and teaching others about what we see and feel and understand, and supporting others in their fight for justice and for life, will create the great change the world needs. We must support one another by caring about each other. It is the only way we can achieve universal justice and enlightenment and ascend into universal consciousness. And once we become the change we see, we wish to see in the world, the promise of world enlightenment will be fulfilled. Now, some people may disagree with that, but you know, I really don't care. And the reason I don't is because I know what I've lived through. I know what people are doing. And I know. I mean, there's another article I wanted to read tonight that, I don't remember if I don't think I read it. As I scurry around for it, which is only in, it was in the last couple of weeks that I wrote it. It was right after the George Zimmerman trial and everything. It made me laugh. But, everybody was going crazy. Everybody, all the people on my Facebook and everywhere were just going mad, and they were absolutely crazy. You know, over, you know, either supporting Zimmerman or not supporting Zimmerman or whatever. And it just killed me to see it. So I just wanted to see if I can find it here. Let me go to this one. I'm backtracking here. America is the end of sanity. America as a society has been drifting towards insanity for many years. But I believe since 2012 and the re-election of Barack Obama, we have achieved the height of insanity as a nation and as a society. Barack Obama is by all in the know a complete corporatist, fascist dictator held in power by a useless, ineffective Congress and a pathetic corporatist Supreme Court, and an apathetic racial phobic populace who believe that their government has abandoned them. They're dying in droves by the food they eat and the air they breathe and water they drink, all poisoned by corporations and government agencies to bring about the demise and depopulation of America and the American people. God, it's so obvious, yet so many people remain blind to it as they eat cancer-causing potato chips, diabetes-causing sugar, and health attacks, a heart attack-causing fat that is loaded in all of their food. What the hell is the matter with the American people? When will they finally understand that they are being murdered and their children are being murdered by the same government and corporations they are taught to believe are aiding them and protecting them? It is so obvious, but they will not see. Instead, they will turn on America's funniest home videos and witness and glorify the abject stupidity of themselves and their society. How many kicks in the groin can they watch before they become as stupid as the Family Guy? Are Americans turning into the family, into the Griffin family? Sending in their most stupid videos for a chance of winning $100,000, proving they are the most stupid people and the most stupid person and family in America. I have come to the end of my beliefs. can resist the new world order. It cannot, because it is embracing it and allowing it to crush them while they play the lotto and latest violent video games and wish for a new car and home as they borrow more money against more money they can never pay back, until they lose everything when they awaken from the propagandist dream and wake up and understand it is all an illusion. America is listed 27th in the world for the happiness of its middle class. It has the highest incarcerated population in the world, equaling all other countries combined. And we insist we are free. Yet our government takes our rights away from us daily. The NSA spies on our every phone call and email and social media entry. And lately we are forced fed the news of the arrival of a royal baby. God, give us the strength to resist this insanity advancing on us minute by minute until we are completely zombified and nullified into non-thinking, non-beings. It's so staggering, you know. I think I read this. There once was a president named Obama. Point. His smile was broad, his teeth were white. He shook everyone's hand and said what they liked. He made many promises, and the people elected him president. Then he created wars, stole their wealth, and betrayed them to banks and corporations. Obama had two daughters, but regretted not having a son, and began to grieve for a dead boy named Trayvon Martin. His grief for the boy could not be consoled when one day he publicly cried, "Trayvon Martin should not have died." And even though everyone distrusted him as president, he requests that all Americans protest against the verdict that freed George Zimmerman, the man who in self-defense shot Trayvon Martin. Well, Trayvon Martin was not an innocent boy. He fought, smoked pot, and got suspended from school. All of this Obama knew and never mentioned because he hated George Zimmerman. Well, Obama had so many scandals, he was facing impeachment, and he did not know what to do. So he decided to cause a national riot by racial tensions over George Zimmerman's acquittal. And one day, a man appeared. Demanded Obama apologize for slandering George Zimmerman and creating hatred against him, and accused Obama of racism, high crimes, and treason. The world heard the man's accusation and paused to hear Obama's reply. Obama accused him of domestic terrorism and had the man arrested and imprisoned indefinitely without a trial. The American people wondered silently what happened to the man who accused Obama of racism and treason, and no one dared to inquire for fear they would also be indefinitely imprisoned. The courageous man who accused Obama was imprisoned in solitary confinement, until one day he escaped with the help of his guards, who took oaths to protect Americans and the Constitution. A brave journalist told the world that the man who accused Obama of treason escaped. Then all the world media questioned Obama, who could only see with hate. Then the man who escaped prison, with heavily armed guards at his side, entered the White House where Obama was speaking and shouted, "Arrest that man for treason." No one in the audience moved as the man shouted from the doorway, "As a citizen of the United States, I arrest you, Barack Obama, for high crimes and treason." The armed guards walked up to Obama, pointed their guns at him, and said, "You are under arrest by command of this American citizen. And Obama commanded his own guards to shoot them, but no one defended him. And everyone in the room stood up to applaud the man and the guards and cheered loudly as they put Obama in handcuffs and marched him out of the room between them. World's news cameras reported Obama's desperate end when the White House shook by the thunderous cheers from everyone in the nation. As Obama found his guards and cursed all cheering Americans, fought his guards and cursed all cheering Americans, the man who arrested him stood on the stage and said, "You see a man before you who is unjustly imprisoned by this president. Barack Obama is destroyed by his lies, his treason, and his racism." That's right, folks. Barack Obama is a racist. No doubt, in my mind, whatsoever. He's trying to fire up a race war. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care less. Obama's racism, self-pity, and failed presidency. I wrote this on July 20th. But about 2 weeks ago or so. And I was getting pretty ticked off at Barack Obama trying to stir up a race riot in this country, and it never happened, really. Barack Obama will not leave the Trayvon Martin issue alone. He didn't get the race war he wanted, so now he's sulking and trying to make the Trayvon Martin issue personal to further agitate racial unrest in this country. He can't believe that no one is falling for his false emotional plea to incite blacks and whites into violent unrest. He can't understand that the American people are too smart to fall for this trap. His trap, and he's race baiting and will pay the ultimate price for his deception. Everything he has tried to accomplish in his lifetime and during his presidency will be destroyed by his impeachment, and his name will be synonymous with Richard Nixon and condemned throughout history. His few friends will say he is being attacked because he is black, instead of the fact that he is a failed, incompetent president. Barack Obama recent crybaby, a public outcry of poor me, I could have been Trayvon, is such a farce of high hypocrisy, it should be a comedy skit on Saturday Night Live. This public self-pity pose of Obama is proof of his inability to govern a multiracial country. His own racism was unmasked as he publicly blamed white Americans for his personal failures and his own bitterness and resentment at the growing disgust and contempt of all Americans towards him that exceeds the disgust and contempt Americans have for G.W. Bush. It's all over for Barack Obama. No one will shed a tear for him or support him. They will only curse him more until his public displays of racism and incompetence can no longer be tolerated or defended by anyone. And all Americans demand his impeachment and resignation. That's what's happening, guys. Horrible. I guess it has been a couple of weeks since I found out there's a nice show. I know I didn't read this one yet on the program, but I was talking to friends. I wrote this on July 18th. This was a Sunday. I believe it was Sunday, or it might have been a Monday, but it was regarding a bunch of how crazy everything was getting, especially on Facebook, the other day on social websites, that they're really hysterical, and especially after that Zimmerman verdict. And I just want to read my observation of that and kind of what happened to me and how we, what I did, what others did. It has been strange lately, ever since the Martin Zimmerman verdict came out this week. I haven't seen such a flurry of activity on my Facebook page since the 2012 elections. The level of emotion is unequaled in my history with social media. From my friends, I must have received over 500 posts a day since the beginning of this week. I read an article that said Sunday, the 14th of July, was the biggest day of Facebook activity ever, and the biggest day of befriending and blocking in the history of Facebook. All postings on my page spoke about either how to calm down and meditate, or impeach Obama, love Trayvon, the benefits of marijuana, the hellish crimes of Monsanto, I love the NRA, don't riot, I'm a jerk, mainstream media mocks Americans, I'm stupid, and fuck Obama. Fuck Eric Holder. Fuck you. It's been fun, to see how wild people are getting over Obama, Zimmerman, and Martin. And that social media is a way to express themselves nonviolently. In fact, social media is much more effective in many ways for an individual to express himself, and a lot safer. Obama and his minions are tear gassing and arresting anyone who marches against them. Assault teams are everywhere. It's a police state, folks, but the only thing that keeps the American people from tearing down the White House and Capitol building is our right to raise hell on the internet. The fact that everyone knows the NSA and Obama thugs are listening to everything we are saying or writing on social media and in our emails and phone conversations makes it that much more fun to tell Obama and his entire administration and Congress to fuck themselves. I personally lost a dozen Facebook friends this week. I either deleted them or they deleted me. I don't get too excited, but I'd rather delete and block someone who calls me names or says something so offensive or stupid it doesn't deserve a response, other than getting into a pissing match with them. Almost everything you say or post is public on Facebook. It is interesting to see how wild and crazy some people can get when you say or post something that makes them mad or makes them think. After a week like this one on social media, I realized a lot of my friends are hotheads, and that's why I like them. I guess I always like raising hell to make people think. It is the only way to wake people up out of their utopian dream world. When millions of people publicly, verbally bash and humiliate a sitting or past president and call them out for their crimes and impeachment, it's got to hurt them a little and make them nervous, especially when the supersonic egos they have. It's great to curse at and condemn large corporations that are raping the environment and stealing from everyone around the world. I like to show proof to people of the crime of government and the crimes of corporation. It amazes many and makes those who are doing the crimes very nervous for being exposed. While American free speech has never been stronger than it is on social media and the internet, and where information and opinions flow constantly, that is why this government and others want to censor it, or already have in other countries. I enjoy talking to my friends and enemies. My enemies are all those who are trying to hurt me and my friends. My friends are all fighting with me against our mutual enemies. My friends are true warriors. It doesn't matter what race they are, what country they live in, or what language they speak. My friends are everyone who are oppressed, displaced, assaulted, abused, wrongfully condemned or imprisoned, angry at the nightmare of the worldwide system of corruption and starvation, murder, genocide, pollution, deceit, individual and corporate criminality, and are willing to stand and fight against them with me. It was great talking to almost everyone this week. Keep fighting and keep writing. Keep teaching and learning. Keep shouting and verbally punching and clawing. Stay real, stay vigilant, and stay friends. Yeah, things are getting kind of crazy a couple weeks ago. Really crazy. I am sure that I read this the other day, or played this too. But what I want to do tonight, one more thing I want to do, and then I'll go to a music break, is I wanted to, I'm sorry. I want to go to the, I'd like to read a couple of short poems. If you happen to be at your computer, which I'm assuming you are, but if you're listening to it on an iPod or iPad, iPhone or whatever, you might not see this. But if you want to go to lasteelshow.org, you take a look at my front page and you'll see this great picture that I just put up. It's called "A Tall Ship in a Storm." And I re-enhanced this picture. I enhanced this black and white stock photo. Picture from 1885, and it was a tall ship in a storm at sea. I don't know how they took this picture, but it was great. And it was in black and white. And I found this in an old book, old photos, stock photos. There was no copyright on it, but it was just an amazing picture. I took a picture of it, and I wanted to proceed. And then I played around with it. And did some color enhancements and contrast enhancements, and it came in with a software package that I had, and it just turned this into a beautiful, beautiful picture. I'm so proud of it, the way it looks right now. But if you go to it, it's called "A Tall Ship in a Storm." As a tall ship in a storm, America braces for a revolution. Our captain is a madman. The harsh winds of oppression rock the tail of the tall ship on the violent sea. Before the ship capsizes, we must seize the helm and ride out the storm. Our sails may be torn, but our masts are not broken. That's America, folks. We gotta take the helm. We're in a storm. Our leader, our captain, is out of his mind. Can't eat anything confident. We have to take over. Lead ourselves back into the calm seas. Right out this storm. So what I wanted to do is that with that I wanted to go to I'll go to my next one. Sometimes I wonder what I'm doing here, whether I'm for the right purpose or not. But it tends to be a problem. But I'm going to go to. I'm trying to find another article here. But we will go to the. We'll be back in just a few minutes. I'd like to give you a little music break. Something to think about. And nothing heavy. Something kind of happy, you know. And working on this. I kind of like this song. It's called "Burnt Rubber Blues." end up. Hope you don't like this. I always like this song. I'd like to take this back today, actually. I wrote this this article. And it's a short, but I don't know if anybody's been following the Obama-Putin war, okay, diplomacy. It's very funny, I think. But it could lead to catastrophic problems, but I think at this point it's funny, and I'll explain why. I have to laugh at the recent breakdown in Russian-U.S. relations. I realize laughing at the two world leaders' dispute may not be understood by serious politophiles who take foreign policy and international diplomacy seriously. Well, Putin has disliked Obama since Obama was first elected president. I praised Putin's alliance with Iran and again, I praised Russia's alliance with Syria. Well, Putin must be laughing hysterically, okay, at the U.S. failed involvement in Afghanistan and Iraq. He knows that the G.W. Bush and Obama are considered to be criminals and idiots with near zero approval ratings by Americans and by every country in the world. Well, Putin's agreement to grant Snowden's political asylum was the best Obama put-down he could have done without engaging in war. Putin made a firm statement to all countries who fear Obama's threats. He made Obama look like a wimp and an international fool. No one believes Obama, no one likes him, and he may be impeached before his term in office officially ends. As an American citizen, I personally apologize to the world. I speak for myself, but I speak for myself only when I say I am sorry that I voted for Barack Obama, and I am ashamed that Barack Obama has made such a horrible leader. My judgment in the 2012 election must have been impaired. However, the choice between Obama and Romney was not a difficult one to make. With all of Obama's faults, Romney was even worse. And American political presidential elections are a farce. I have known this for many years, but as a brainwashed American who believes this country must endure, I felt compelled to vote for a bad or worse candidate. I no longer feel that way. I would sooner expatriate than vote for another corporate New World Order troll, which is exactly what Obama and Romney are. Obama's obvious genocidal policies toward the Middle East and other countries around the world have destroyed any faith I ever had in this fraud of a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Investigative reports state as many as 72 countries have a U.S. military presence, and many of these countries are in major conflicts with the U.S. Russia is the only country that is willing to defend and ally with these countries who are threatened by the U.S. Obama. By the U.S. Obama keeps trying to heat up the Cold War. He will do everything he can to distract the American media and people away from his growing scandals. And Putin's put-down of Obama by granting asylum to Snowden checkmated Obama and made Obama look weak and ridiculous in the eyes of the world. That's a serious issue, folks, that I that was very, very troublesome to me. Where this guy has led us, you know. Phew. He led us to nowhere, you know. It's frightening. It really is frightening. Really, really, really frightening to think of what they did. But what I wanted to do, there was a great article. There's a great short video, and I hope I put it in here. Yes. I wanted to show you. It's happening, folks, and it says it takes take back government time. This is a this is an article here. I would like to because it's hand in hand with what I was talking about earlier. This is from the General Strike USA. Stop calling your congressman. They don't listen. Shut it down. And I'd like to read this little article tonight. Civil disobedience rising across America as citizens are fed up with criminal government. Now, this article was a friend of mine sent it to me. It was actually posted on this guy's blog website on May 26th, but a lot of stuff has happened since then as well. So I think it's still very, very relevant. Nearly everywhere you turn, crowds of angry Americans are gathering, no longer content to sit idly by and remain spectators to a cavalcade of injustices being perpetrated ad nauseum, while we the people by criminal governments that have long since lost their legitimacy. Run by an elitist ruling class, they prove daily that an elected body can trample rights the same as a sitting monarch can be a dictator. The soft tyranny we endure now on a daily basis has turned scores of Americans into reluctant activists, no longer satisfied with participation in mundane demonstrations that prove and accomplish nothing. Rising tide of anger. Some recent cases in point bear rise to this unrest, and if history is a guide, such occurrences will only become more frequent and more violent as our rights, traditions, and heritages are trampled, disregarded, and disrespected. Take one case in New Jersey recently where a state Senate panel on gun control cut off testimony on a bill citing procedure. When citizens in attendance clearly had more they wanted to say, as evidenced by their request to do so from the gallery. As seen in this video, a couple of individuals who attempted to speak were made to leave by a court police officer, but when one man, Frank Flamingo, president of New Jersey's Second Amendment Society, had enough of the Senate panel's dismissive attitude, he organized the dozens of attendees into reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, at which time the Senate panel abandoned its attempts to have audience members thrown out and mostly refused to stand during the recitation of the pledge. One senator finally stood towards the end of the pledge. Here's how it went down, according to one witness's account. After a late start and a 10-minute break that lasted more than a half hour, the New Jersey Senate Committee on Gun Control decided to cut off public comment on the proposed gun control bill at 4 o'clock. The chairman and most of the committee then refused to honor the Pledge of Allegiance. This took place at the New Jersey Senate gun control hearings in Trenton on April 30th, 2013. People in the audience were wearing NRA caps, which I am sure were not lost on the Senate committee members, and the officers from the court who were harassing the people who attended at the end of the clip looked behind like jackbooted Nazi enforcers. The anger in the court in the room was palatable, as was the frustration. And he says, freedom going out of style. At a separate protest, civil rights activist Adam Kokas, who has pre-announced an armed civil disobedience march on Washington, D.C. on July 4th. Now, you got to remember, this was written in May. Was violently dragged from a smoked-down prohibition protest in Philadelphia over the weekend of May 18th. Through this video, Kokesh, who is being dragged away from the event of police, has his hands up and is clearly not resisting arrest. That was the ultimate charge leveled against him. So there's evidence. I mean, these demonstrators, guys, right and left, they're all getting beat up. You know, they're all getting beat up. According to Adam Kokesh, supporter, brother Lucas Kokesh, never even smoked pot during the protest. So his arrest is sending shockwaves across the liberty movement because it appears to be illegal and unjustified. The video seems to depict a lawless gang of badge-wearing thugs committing an act of kidnapping against someone merely exercising their free speech rights in a public forum. What is interesting, even encouraging, if you are a lover of liberty, was the reaction of the crowd to Kokesh's detention. As you can see in the video, demonstrators followed police to a barricade. They reinforced after taking Koresh through it, and the crowd openly challenged officers and was visibly angry. These are scenes from repeated all around the country and with increasing frequency. As more Americans tire of the soft tyranny being directed at them on a daily basis, look for more unrest in the future. And this was from the General Strike USA. Stop calling your congressman. They don't listen. So, just so you know, folks,
$2.99. Can't beat that, folks. Can't beat that. Help
go to his site. He's a fighting libertarian, and a very good friend of mine. The guy who designed my website, I've known him for a lot of years. But wonderful guy. But he sent this over to me today on Facebook, and it says, a Colorado town is holding a special vote on whether to shoot down drones. I love this. And as it appears that, hang on 1 second here. Colorado town is holding a special vote on whether to shoot down drones. A small town in Colorado is going to have a town-wide vote on whether to issue hunting licenses for drones, with $100 rewards for shooting down drones and bringing in identifiable parts of any unmanned aerial vehicle whose markings and configurations are consistent with those used on any similar craft known to be owned or operated by the United States federal government. Deer Trail, Colorado, is about 580 residents. It is just larger than a square mile. It called itself home for the first rodeo and is located in the scrubby cow country plains less than 60 miles east of Denver. Well, Philip Steele is a man behind the ordinance. He wore a black hat and long black coat when he spoke with Amanda Costa, Denver's ABC affiliate. Although he has never seen a drone above the town, he wants to pass this very symbolic legislation. I don't want to live in a surveillance society. I don't feel like I'm being, I don't feel like being in a virtual prison, still called the AP. This is a preemptive strike. And the Deer Trail town council split the vote in the ordinance 3-3 Tuesday, so that the town is going to have a special vote in November if it can afford to do so. And the FAA spoke up against residents pointing their guns skyward. According to AP statement issued in July, said the shooting down of a drone could cause it to crash into something on the ground or something else in the air. And firing on an unmanned aircraft could result in criminal or civil liability, just as it would be fired at a manned airplane. That's interesting. So, anyway, all praise to the town of Deerfield, Michigan, Deer Trail, Michigan. And you can check this article out and offer your support to them by going to What's Your Geek IQ? The Geek Week. Is that interesting? Geek Week. Anyway, What's Your Geek IQ? You know what? Last 4 minutes, maybe I'll take this quiz.
What is a word made up of four letters? It is
also made up of three letters. Also, it is written in eight letters and then with four. Rarely consists of six, and it never is written with five. What do you think? I'll read that one more time. What is a word made up of four letters, yet is also made up of three? Although it is written with eight letters, and then with four, rarely consists of six, and another is with five. Four letters. I have no idea, and they wouldn't give me the answer on this either. That's what made me mad. I was hoping they would give me the answer, but they didn't. I put this out to 1,500 friends I have. Let's see. A whole bunch of people said, read as in yesterday I read book and read. Second and third sentences are correct. Although it's written with eight letters, then with four letters, rarely with six, and never with five. She doesn't know what she's talking about. It is too late for that much brain activity, Glenn. I was confused after the first sentence. Aha, good night, she said. It's not a question, but a statement. What equals four, yet equals three? Although eight, then equals four, rarely six, and never five. That's a, yeah, okay. Very good, Corey. Somebody else got it. Now I don't need to explain it to you. This guy is useless, says. Nobody understood this thing. And let's see, it says, I got one more minute. It says, the word word is made up of four letters. The word yet is made up of three letters. The word although is made up of ten. The word then is made up of four. The word rarely consists of six letters. And the word never is written with five letters. Some days I feel really smart. Apparently after 9, my brain shuts off. I hate riddles. This is going to bug me for the next hour. Anyway, that's a lot of other comments about this one, but it doesn't look like anybody got it. So, anyway, I want to thank everybody. Have a pleasant evening, and wish you all the best. And please join me next week, right here, Tuesday night, and we'll have a great time. Good night, everyone. Folks.